Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, July 22nd. I'm Ray Graff. We haven't done this in a while. Today we do a comics and sports cards program. And joining us on the line, Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics and Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards, both in Schenectady, New York. So whether you're a fan of Batman or Michael Jordan or the Avengers or the Mets, you'll want to give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email your sports card or comic book question to voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Al and Bill and your comic and sports card questions coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We're discussing comics and sports cards today with Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics and Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards, both located in Schenectady. Bill is the owner of Electric City Comics, founded in 1982. It is now one of the oldest comic shops in upstate New York. Bill was an advisor to the Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide update and has some experience on the other side of the publishing chain as a comic book writer. Al is the sole proprietor of Al's House of Sports Cards, which he opened about 15 years ago. He has been an avid collector all his life. His shop carries complete card sets and sports memorabilia. You got a question about your old cards or comics that are collecting dust someplace in the attic? Give us a call. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Again, the number is 800-348-2551. Al Itzkoff, Bill Townsend, welcome back, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ray.
Great to have you guys back on the line. It's been a while since we've done one of these shows, right?
Yes, a lot has happened.
Yeah, back before the world ended, I know we did one. And, you know, it seems strange. The baseball season is about to begin. And are there cards this year, Al? I haven't even looked. Usually I pick up a few packs a year here and there randomly, but I haven't even looked.
Oh, yeah, there's cards. There's definitely cards. There's Top Series 2 just came out, 2020. You got Top Series 1. There's Topps Tribute they made. You got Topps Heritage. Bowman is super hot right now. Everybody's looking for that Dominguez for the Yankees. Yeah, hobby's been very hot for the new stuff, that's for sure. This pandemic made it that people were so bored out of their minds, they dug out their old cards, started going through them, and the hobby picked up.
Well, that is really interesting to hear. Now, we've had the Stamp and Coin guys on, and they said they saw maybe a little of that, but nothing really radical as far as an uptick in interest. Now, as far as a future collector goes, because of this shortened season, this 80-game baseball season, will the cards be up or down, or will they be about the same in value in the future?
I think the demand will be there because they didn't really produce a ton of stuff because I don't think they manufactured at full force because of COVID.
Yeah.
Man. So I think the production is low and demand is high for the newer stuff, especially like basketball. People are, you know, going crazy over Zion, Ja Morant. I mean, the rookie crop this year is just phenomenal. So people are just, you know, they're going nuts. I mean, you can go to a department store and their shelves are completely empty because somebody's wiping them out nonstop.
Well, I got to tell you, you go to the department store, you'll find a lot of shelves are empty, but that's a different story. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, true.
Bill Townsend, this is breaking comic news. I'm sure you're all over this. I just read this. Keanu Reeves is coming out with a comic book. Berserker, I guess, is the name of it. You heard about this, I'm sure, right?
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine met Keanu Reeves in San Francisco, and she was at a restaurant and was just seated next to him. And she got into a long conversation with him, and he's been a comic fan for years. They were bonding over their love of Robin the Boy Wonder.
That's an odd thing to bond over, but there you go. It's a 12-part book series. It'll be out in October. Apparently, it's about... it's a tale of an immortal warrior laced with history and conspiracies. 80,000-year-old half-god, half-mortal. That old...
Oh, they're all over the place. You keep stumbling across them.
What would make a movie actor think he should be a comic book writer?
There are a lot of people in media who have also written comic books. For instance, the name of the group escapes me, but I think My Chemical Romance.
Oh, yeah.
The lead singer of that, he produced a comic book series that a lot of the fans of the band were looking for. It just kind of goes on and on. And also, I mean, actors have played comic book characters, and some of them have written issues of comic books. It's kind of a one hand washes the other thing.
Very interesting. Our number here is 800-348-2551. If you would like to get a rough estimate of the value of some of the things you might have in the old collection, if you are like so many that Al has spoken of, you may have pulled out the old comic book library or the cards, and you had a look and said, oh, I have some value here. Our number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. We got this one in. I don't know, Al. I know you do cards, but this might be out of your ballywick here. I have a bunch of Kung Fu cards with David Carradine on them. Are they worth anything? And that's from Anonymous.
Okay, those are non-sports. Kung Fu cards came out in the... And then probably like mid-70s,
right?
With David Carradine, yeah. I mean, they're not as popular like say like Star Wars or any other stuff. Yeah, they're probably worth like $15-$20
a piece
for the set.
Oh, for the set,
I would think. You know, it depends on the condition too. It's an oddball item though. It's not like something that gets traded all the time.
You know, it's weird. I remember they've made cards about almost everything at one time or another.
Of course, they made cards of Kiss too back in the late 70s.
Well, I remember the early mid 70s, my brother and I had Evel Knievel cards. So what are they worth?
Oh yeah, those are cool.
Yeah. I think they're long gone. You know what we did back in the old days though, Al? I'm sure you did this with a few cards and you've kicked yourself. You put them in the spokes of the bikes.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely did. You made that nice sound, you know, like you had a motorcycle. Put it on my mini chopper bike. Sure, why not?
Had we only known back in the early 70s we were kissing off thousands of dollars, we wouldn't have done that. Hey, let's take a break here. 800-348-2551. We'll get to the phones in a moment. Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards. Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics. Your comics and cards questions coming up. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. 800-348-2551. It's Comics and Cards today with Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics and Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards. Before we get to the phones here, Bill, one more question. Now, I had mentioned Keanu Reeves releasing a 12-book series called Berserker. Just because a comic is related or in some way connected to a big star, does that automatically mean there is going to be more value to it, whether it stinks or whether it's good?
It's basically a crapshoot. It's like throwing the dice. It's hard to say. There's sometimes when a celebrity will help bow a new comic series. For instance, I remember some years ago, Marvel started doing adaptation of Stephen King's The Stand and Stephen King's The Gunslinger. And Stephen King himself actually helped promote it, and it was a huge hit.
Right.
But other times they'll bring a celebrity in and the market will just not be paying attention. I think, you know, the intersection of a new series bowing and a slow news day is always helpful to the new series.
Well, you make a point. There's been a lot of slow news over the last several months. Ryan is in Saratoga. Ryan, you're on.
Hi. I was just wondering, I got a whole big box of just 9 baseball cards.
Oh, boy. Hey, Ryan.
I can barely hear him.
Yeah, Ryan, your connection's pretty bad. I assume you're in the car. We lost it. You said you had a big box of something baseball cards, and then we missed out the key word there.
Oh, sure. They're baseball cards from the 90s.
Ah.
And I know that's an unpopular year for baseball cards, but I was wondering if there were any hidden gems in the 90s for baseball players.
All right, Al Itzkoff, what do you think?
In the 90s, yeah, you got Derek Jeter rookie card, 1993. Then you also have the 1990 Leaf or Topps, Sammy Sosa. You also have the Frank Thomas. There's a few players. I mean, the most valuable one would be Jeter.
Hmm.
All right. Well, I'll have to look out for those ones on my
search. Yeah, and if you might even have a 94 Upper Deck Alex Rodriguez rookie card. I mean, 90s don't really possess too much, but the Jeter is like the biggest rookie of that era.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Baseball.
Thanks, Ryan. Now, that's interesting. You said Sammy Sosa, but Sammy Sosa was somewhat disgraced, right?
Yeah, but there was an interest now because, you know, no sports. People are watching television. They're watching documentaries, and that's what happens. Interest built up, you know, like Last Dance, all the Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, all that stuff just skyrocketed. All those basketball players, they're all were in the news again, and people started buying their stuff again.
Well, let me ask you a question about those late 90s, and you had Mark McGwire and you had Sammy Sosa, and they broke all the records, and then, of course, you had Barry Bonds after that. These guys, you know, you said, oh, I got a rookie Barry Bonds. I'm set. This is going to be fantastic. And then all of the allegations that proved to be true came out. My question for you, in the long term, in addition to their Hall of Fame hopes, which we don't have to discuss, does the card value increase over the decades to come? In other words, Shoeless Joe Jackson cards, despite his disgrace and his banishment, they must be worth some money to this day.
Oh, yeah. Joe Jackson cards are coveted. I mean, those cards are very valuable. He didn't have that many cards, and, I mean, they're just very highly desirable.
Yeah.
He has very few cards.
But in your estimation, as a guy who has been a collector all your life and now for the last 15, 20 years you've run Al's House of Sports Cards, these people who are connected to steroids or some other scandal, Pete Rose, gambling, in decades to come, do collectors forget that and say, well, I mean, this guy hit 72 home runs?
Yeah, I think eventually they will all get into the Hall of Fame. Bonds, Sosa, Clemens, I think that they're going to let him in.
But what about the card values? Now, I have a rookie Clemens. I mean, I was pretty excited
about the value of the cards will start picking up. I think there's always there has been an increase in like Clemens cards and Bonds cards because people are trying to get them all graded now.
Yeah.
So the interest is picking up a little bit for those cards. Even Sammy Sosa, which is unbelievable. I've not sold a Sosa card in forever. People are starting to pick his cards up.
Interesting. All right, let's go back to the phones.
Al, even Pete Rose getting into the Hall of Fame?
That, I don't know. I mean, that one is a tough one. The Pete Rose, that's a tough one.
All right. Well, I have a lot of old Pete Rose, too, somewhere stocked away in somebody's house for safekeeping. 800-348-2551. And let me tell you something. They're not as worth as much as they should. I'll tell you that. Matt in Rosendale. Matt.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to make a comment instead of having a question. Going back to the comic books and the celebrities, there's actually a local Southern Hudson Valley band that has a national following named Coheed and Cambria, and they also have a graphic novel comic series that aligns with their completed albums.
That is what I was thinking of. Yeah, their fans definitely came around looking for it, although I think they've had three series, and not so many people were looking for the most recent one. Maybe it wasn't promoted properly. But yeah, that is exactly. It's like a lot of people came looking for it when it came out and kind of caught us shorthanded. But we learned from our early experience with that.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
Hey, Matt, thanks a lot for the call. And, of course, we remember the Kiss comics that had the blood in them, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're still making Kiss comics today.
But not with blood in them.
Thank heaven, no.
Didn't they have the blood in the ink for
it was a big promotional thing when they had their first Kiss comic book for Marvel. It showed Gene Simmons and the band members pouring little vials of blood into the printer's ink.
Nice. Well, $0.20 for the comics and a lifetime of Hep C. Good stuff. Mark in Poughkeepsie. Mark, you're on.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good.
So I'm normally a model train guy, but I did have a question about cards. I have a set. There's four of them, two shirtless, one, and like two like in the gym of Patrick Swayze. And I'm wondering, do the Patrick Swayze cards have any value?
Patrick
Swayze. I'm not really sure about that. I mean, I mainly do sports. That's Patrick Swayze is more dancing and acting.
Wow. I never even heard of that one.
Yeah, neither have I.
Are the cards associated with any like TV show or movie?
I'm in the train, sir.
Say it again. Now,
this has to deal with, yeah, he does sometimes, I'm sorry, I'm driving.
That's okay, man.
He did a lot of postings with his train that he had branded, the Swayze Express. So, I don't know, it's more of a model train thing.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. I think, are you talking about the Patrick Swayze, like from United Kingdom, the movie sticker cards, Dirty Dancing? Because those are only worth like a few dollars.
Oh, okay.
Or yeah, are they the 12 cards that's from the 1993 movie?
Ah, okay.
Oh, wow.
There's some stuff of it. It's really not that valuable, though.
All right. Hey, Mark, thanks a lot for that one. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Yeah, I mean, aren't there vast numbers of Beatles cards, too, from back in the early
60s? Yeah, those are very popular, though. Beatles cards are very popular. Patrick Swayze, not really. They're really not traded that much. Mm. But the Beatles, you know, 1964 tops.
Right.
They're highly desirable.
All right, let's go to Chris in I don't know where you're calling from, Chris.
I'm in Poughkeepsie. You're near Poughkeepsie.
You're on.
Yeah, I was calling about Spider-Man comic books, but I actually have a couple old 1964 Beatles cards.
Nice.
You know, yeah. Nice. But I've always collected stuff since ever forever. But I have Spider-Man comics that at one time, no one would believe this. Many dealers refused to believe it, so they didn't get a chance to see the comics. But I actually at one time had in near mint or mint condition Spider-Man, Amazing Fantasy 15 Origin, number one, all the way to 186 or something.
Wow.
And this was in 1985 in the AIDS crisis. I was selling off, trying to sell. I sold the first 10 and Amazing Fantasy 15 for what was a song because no one believed I've always looked 10 years young for my age,
yeah.
And I was 21. So, and I sold these comics off for my friend, you know, spent 6 months with my friend. So,
yeah.
In any case, I still have all the others. And I am that, you know, I don't know whether it word got around of this kid that everyone was back in 1984-85, I think it was Philadelphia at the Comics Con then. I was the one bragging and having these comics that no one believed. You know, I spoke to all the big dealers and no one believed that I had them. But I actually had them in mint condition.
Okay. Do you have a question?
So anyway, with regard to the rest of them, from 11 on up, does it make more sense to sell that as a bundled batch or individually?
All right.
I mean, in terms of
making money. Bill.
Well, let me tell you, I mean, of the comic book back issue titles, Amazing Spider-Man is the blue chip. So selling them individually or selling them as a unit, you're going to get good money for them because Spider-Man is the back issue title that sells year in and year out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spider-Man is like the Mickey Mantle of comics.
Yeah, there you go. What do you think, Chris?
So that is something that one could do as a unit without the whole, you know, because I...
Right.
You know,
my recommendation, though, is to try to sell the whole thing as a unit.
All right, hang on. One at a time. Chris, let Bill give you his recommendation. He's got some wisdom for you. Go ahead, Bill.
Thank you.
My recommendation is to sell them all as a unit because what dealers will do is they'll cherry pick. They'll take out the good ones that are easy to sell and leave you with the less good ones that are harder to sell.
Okay. Chris, thanks a lot.
Spider-Man, The whole run is a gem.
Okie dokie. Ending when, though? I mean, they still make Spider-Man. They can't be worth all that much today.
I would say that everything, let's say up to about 300.
Okay. Issue 300. Very good. Let's go to Hudson Falls, and we'll talk to Dennis. We are joined today by Bill Townsend, Al Itzkoff. We talk comics and cards today on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. Dennis in Hudson Falls. Dennis, you're on.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, we're hanging in there.
Good, 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 good. My son was given a Derek Jeter draft card by his grandmother. It's in pristine condition. It's. She thought he was cute, so she picked up the card. He was just wondering if there's any value to it.
What kind of card is it?
It's a some kind of a draft card. The card is
it's a drafted card, 1993. Yeah. It currently books for $25.
That's pretty good.
Unless you get it graded, it comes back a 10.
Okay.
Then it's a lot higher than that.
Well, that's pretty good,
Thank
Dennis.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. And now we go to Saratoga Springs, and it's Paul. Paul, you're up.
Afternoon, guys. Listen, I've got a couple giant-size Spider-Man versus Superman comics. One of them is autographed by Stan Lee. So I'm wondering if there's any difference in the value, if those things are worth any money.
Oh, you know what? The Treasury size editions, I mean, they're like tabloid size. They were popular
yes, exactly.
in the
Big 70s. And, covers, yep.
Yep, yep. They were popular in
yeah,
the 70s
it.
And early 80s. Not so much now. Most of them aren't worth anything, but the Spider-Man, Superman one and the Hulk, Batman
yes.
one, they are essentially, and the Superman versus Muhammad Ali one, those
That's
are
the
stars of the format.
Really?
So, and the fact that it's autographed by Stan Lee, that's not a bad thing either. Yeah, that's definitely worth something.
Okay, great. And also, if I was going to sell part or all of my collection, I could just walk into Electric City, or should I make an appointment or what?
Oh, you should definitely make an appointment because, for instance, I'm not at the store right now.
Yeah.
Yes, you should definitely call first.
What's your website, Bill? Thanks for the call, Paul.
What website is electriccitycomics.com.
Now, you guys have
And
been...
also, we're on it. We do more stuff on Facebook.
Oh.
So we're Electric City Comics on Facebook, too.
Now, I assume that during the lockdown, you guys probably had your doors closed, probably not essential, right?
We were closed for 2 months, from essentially March 20th to May 20th. But when we reopened, business, I mean, just like Al was saying, there's been a lot of interest. People got a little cabin fever. And in spite of the fact that the comic publishers are producing a lot less books these days, we're doing very well. Business is robust. People are buying a lot more back issues and seeing a lot more back issue speculation.
It's very interesting. And Al, you yeah. echo those thoughts.
Yeah, I was closed too, as Bill says. There is interest in cards. People are coming in and, you know, they are buying stuff when they were a kid. I've seen that lately. People that had cards back in the 90s, now they want them, you know, now they want a Kobe Bryant rookie. You know, they had one back in 96, 97. So they come in and, you know, they buy one.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go back.
Yeah,
to
there's the... definitely an interest. The cabin fever did it, though, you know, and people had a better chance to really find out what they had and what they have. And they figured, hey, I want to get these cards, you know, from my childhood. I'm going
to
get them.
I find that the psychology of this to be very interesting. And I imagine will be if the boom continues to take off, or the uptick, at least, in interest continues to take off for the next several years, you can say that this was sort of a turning point. And in shows to come, we can discuss this further. Let's go back to the phones, though. 800-348-2551. Chris in Little Falls. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, so I got a question about a sports card. I acquired a 2003 NBA rookie sheet. It's totally uncut, and it's got LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, like the triples of the rookies, and I was just wondering of the value of that, if you guys had any idea.
It's a 2003 Tops.
I believe it's Skybox.
Skybox? Uncut sheet?
Uncut sheet, yep.
He's looking it up. I betcha.
I'm going to take a look and see what that is. Okay. I mean, I know the LeBron rookie card by itself is worth $500, just raw, just tops.
Okay, so, really, yeah, I got a double. There's two single LeBrons, and then there's a triple of Dwayne Wade, Carmelo, and LeBron all on the same card. And I got doubles of that, too.
So that's probably a pretty valuable piece. That's their rookie year, so especially LeBron. LeBron is on fire right now.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So treat them well and hang on to them.
Yeah, you definitely got something special there, I would think.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's Sports Cards on Comic Books Today. Been a while since these guys have been on. Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards and Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics. You guys, you know, it's not easy to do these shows from a distance over the phone, but you're both doing very well. You're not stepping on each other. You're very good.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right, here we go. And Diane in Scroon Lake. Hello, Diane.
Oh, I see Stone Ridge, but hello.
Oh, hello, Stone Ridge.
I have a number of, I inherited some comic books, and they're a series called Cave Woman. There's actually Scud and Cave Woman. And the Cave Woman series, some of them are signed by Bud. Some are Basement Comics, which look like their earlier version of Cave Woman. And then there's this Caliber. And there's some cards with them. I'm wondering if the Cave Woman series are worth any money, signed or just as they are. Hmm. And the Scud.
I also have
Aquaman and a couple DC comics, but mostly I'm interested in the Cave Woman and the Scud.
Cave Woman, okay.
Okay, Cave Woman, there is kind of a genre of comics called Bad Girl Comics, and that's where Cave Woman belongs. I believe the artist is a guy named Bud Root, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. There really isn't a lot of value to them. They essentially, Cave Woman started in the 90s when there was just kind of a boom, and there was just kind of a gush of titles. There is some interest in it, but it seems to be pretty much a phenomenon of the 90s and not so much today. So there's some interest, but not a lot of value.
Now, she said this was signed by Bud, who apparently would be the artist.
Yeah, Bud is, I guess, the artist. Yeah.
Yeah, Bud Root. So,
so what about the Scud comics? Any value in them?
Scud the Disposable Assassin is another comic from the late 80s and 90s. I bet you his adventures are in black and white. There is basically back then there was just this gusher of black and white comic books. And
why?
Mm-hmm. Some of them, for instance, the king of the black and white comics was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Their mm-hmm. first, like 10 or dozen comics were all in black and white.
Huh.
And while there's some interest in it, there was just so many of them that they really don't have much value. Hmm. The Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide kind of turns up its nose at a lot of these black and white books, and they don't even bother to list them.
Okay.
And that's basically it was kind of their thing from the 80s.
All right, Diane, we have to take a break here, so we'll just pause right there. We're joined today by Al Itzkoff and Bill Townsend. We talk sports cards and comic books. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be right back. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. Sports cards and comic books today. Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics is here, as is Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards. A couple of emails here, gentlemen, and then we will get right to the phones. This one is from George, and George says, there's a two-part question. One is about comics, one is about cards. The comic part says, what might be the value of number 200 of The Incredible Hulk from 1977?
Okay. Well, actually, issue 200 of The Incredible Hulk was actually his first 100 book, because The Incredible Hulk series started at issue 102. Probably in pretty good shape. I think it's like a $20-$25 book.
Okay. All
right. It's not hugely expensive, but it is something that people are looking for.
All right, and then the baseball card part of this, Al. George also has several hundred 1970s baseball cards, Johnny Bench, Thurman Munson, Pete Rose, et cetera, and that's from George.
What is it?
Are you with me, Al?
Yes, I'm sorry.
It's not really a question. He just says he has several hundred 1970s baseball cards, Johnny Bench, Thurman Munson, Pete Rose, et cetera. And I suppose George wants to know, is there value there?
Yeah, there's a little value there. Not a lot of value because they're late 70s. I mean, Thurman Munson rookie card, 1970 tops, is, you know, it's a $100 card. So his most desirable card is a 71. But the 77, 78, they're worth between 5-6. They're not really worth that much.
Okay. All right. Let's see. This one is from James in Millbrook, New York. My question is, what's with the high values for the original art pages? Almost sounds absurd, such as hundreds of thousands for a Jack Kirby page. Heritage Auctions is the auction house most of the time for the original art. Who's paying these high prices? And that's from James in Millbrook.
Well, it's kind of a complicated subject, because it's like there are millions of copies of, say, Tales to Astonish 27, but there's only one copy of each individual page of original art.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to enjoy Jack Kirby's art, and it's something else to have an original page that he worked on himself. I've got a couple of them, and just looking at the pages is an education, because it lets you know how the comics were created. The Marvel style of producing comic books, basically, Stan Lee would give a plot to Jack Kirby. Jack Kirby would do the pages. And when you see the original, you can see in the margins, Jack wrote in pencil what was happening in each panel to let Stan know, so he could write captions and word balloons that made sense.
Yeah.
So you saw how much the writer was contributing to the story.
Well, that's really cool. All right, this one is from Greg. When I was collecting comics over 20 years ago, Wizard was thought to be an accurate price guide. What's the most accurate price guide for comic books today? Also, I have New Mutants 98, the first appearance of Deadpool and Domino. Any idea how much that would be worth? And that's from Greg.
Okay. The problem with the back issue market now is that, thanks to the internet, things move so fast that it's like trying to hit a mouse with a hammer is just moving too quick from you. You can't nail it down.
Right. Al, instance, I think Al's got the store open. Hey, Al, are you doing business in there?
No, I'm just trying to help a customer. But
okay, man.
No,
well, you can always put the phone down just quietly, and then we'll answer this comic book
okay,
question.
No,
we got
problem.
A baseball card question coming up here in a moment, so come back
okay.
when you can. That's fine.
Okay, no problem.
All right, thanks. Go ahead, Bill.
Yep. It's like, for instance, looking up prices on eBay, you're going to get prices that are all over the place. Looking up one book, someone's selling it for $2,500. Another person is selling it for $100.
Right.
Generally, the Bible of the comic book hobby is the Overstreet Price Guide, but it's an annual book.
Right.
For instance, there's a book in there that I was looking up that it's $70. And then I look it up online. It's like, no, it's $350.
But you were involved with doing the updates, right? For the Overstreet? You did updates periodically every year?
That was back in the 90s. Overstreet basically is just an annual book these days.
Oh, okay. All right. One more comic question, and then we'll get back with Al if he's finished. This is from Andy. Andy writes, not a big collector, but somewhere I have the Superman comic where Superman dies in very good condition. Is that rare or worth much? And that's from Andy.
Okay, you know, I'm pretty much thinking that what he's got is Superman 75.
Yeah.
And not to rain on his parade, you know, it makes me feel so old when I say this, but that's now 25 years old.
Yeah.
It happened in 1993. And even more depressing is Superman has died two other times since then.
Right. Well, has he hosted this show? Because, you know, I've died a few times myself.
So it's like, oh, we all know the feeling these days.
Yes. Now, wait, you said Superman 75 was from the 90s? Was that a new run of Superman comics?
Superman has been renumbered a couple of times.
Ah.
I mean, for instance, Action Comics is right now on issue 1025.
Right.
But Superman himself is only around issue, like, 40 because they renumbered again. That was Superman's second series.
Yeah.
It was issue 75, and the original one came in a black bag. There is still some interest in it. It has some value, but it's not the huge collectible that it was 20, okay. 25 years ago.
All right, finally.
I'd say the price for it would be about $15.
All right, that's all right. Hello, Al. Earth to Al. How are we doing there over at Al's House of Sports Cards?
Good, how are you?
Good, man. You ready for a question?
Yes, I am.
I thought you might have been playing Yahtzee over there. I heard some dice rolling around. This is from Diane. Diane writes, I have a trunk full of my first husband's baseball cards. He collected as a kid, okay. Born in 1959, then as a young man in his late 20s and early 30s until his death. Where do I begin in figuring out how to best sell these cards? I know he has some that he played with as a kid and are probably in poor condition, but he also has packs that were never opened, and that is from Diane.
Yeah, best thing to do is probably look at the years they're from. The easiest thing to do is look at the back of the statistics of a baseball card and then just add a year to it. So if, say, you have a 1977, just add a year to the card, and it's a 78 tops. Sort them by years.
Yeah.
That way you know what you have. And then what you want to do is look, get a price guide and just go through it and see what the key cards are in that. In all those years, and then see if you have any of those, okay. And see if they're worthy of even getting graded or, you know, looked at.
But to be clear, would you or would you not recommend that she open the unopened packs? I know that's a thing, too.
I would keep the packs sealed.
Is there potentially more value? In other words, will someone speculate and say, I'll
sealed.
Take that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Yes. Anything that's sealed is worth something because it's a lot rarer than open cards. You know, there's tons of open cards, but there isn't that many unopened packs.
All right. Fair enough. Even if they're a bunch of lousy cards. I mean, that's the problem, right?
I mean, even if it's a junk wax era, say you have a, like, 1991 Fleer, it's still an open box, still is worth $5.
Okay. All right. This is from, okay. Oh, let's go back to the phones. Roger in Albany. Roger, you're on.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, so I have a 1996 Tiger Woods Sports Illustrated for Kids card. I never cut it out or anything. It's still in real condition, and I was wondering what the value of that and what is the process to try to sell that card.
It depends what condition it's in. You know, if it's a desirable card, no doubt about it. It's probably worth several hundred dollars.
Wow.
You know, Tiger Woods. It's from 1996 SI for Kids. Yeah, it's a highly desirable card.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, if you get like a, let's say you get like a graded, you know, a high grade.
Yeah.
They go for thousands of dollars.
Wowzers.
Yeah, and that was, I believe you got it for free in a magazine.
Go ahead, Roger.
Especially with Tiger's career on the uptick now.
A little bit, yeah. Roger, you go ahead.
So what about, is it worth more just in the magazine? Can you get the magazine appraised or...
I would carefully, you know, cut the card out and send it to get graded by Beckett or PSA. See, you know, that's what I would do.
Carefully cut it out? Boy, I tell you what, you got to be very careful.
I believe they're perforated cards, so you got to be really careful. That's all.
Real careful there. Need a good answer to that.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, be careful. That's all.
All right, Roger, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551, sports cards and comic books today with Bill Townsend and Al Itzkoff and Bill and Beacon. Bill, you're on.
It's Phil. Hey, Ray, how are you?
Good, Phil. Yeah, go ahead.
Quick question. I used to clean my neighbor's gutters out for years just because he's a good neighbor. And then after about 5 years, he gave me a Ricky Henderson rookie card. Said, here, this is for doing me a favor for all those years. Just wonder if it had any value.
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Hi, Al. How are you?
I'm okay. It's currently books at like $80, but if you get it graded, if it's really nice shape, if it's centered, four sharp corners, they go up into thousands of dollars.
Wow.
But you have to get the card graded, like if it's a 10 or higher.
When was his rookie season? 1980. Yeah.
That's his first baseball card. I believe he played a little in 79.
Interesting. That's a great card.
That's an awesome card.
Okay, that's good news. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill.
Guys.
I guess, you know, cleaning the gutters pays off. And that's the first time has ever been said. Let's go to Thomas in Great Barrington. Thomas, you're on.
Oh, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I have some in a binder since 1986. I'm pretty sure I have the whole season of Topps 86 in the plastic pages. Was wondering how much they were worth. And I know I have a bunch of, I kept a bunch of doubles of some of the rookie cards. I believe that was Dwight Gooden's rookie season or Daryl Strawberry. And I was just wondering if you could speak to that year and maybe tell me what the most valuable players are in card form from that year.
Okay, Al. Well, that wasn't the rookie season for Dwight or
Daryl. They're really
Darryl,
not worth that much.
Oh, wasn't? Okay.
No. 86, I mean, it was a great year for the Mets, believe me. The Mets were amazing. But players just, you know, Daryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden, Lenny Dykstra.
I mean, you had some Hall of Famers. You know, you had Gary Carter, right?
Yeah, Gary Carter is one of the nicest people I've ever met. Very nice.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer, great player.
What about across the league in terms of cards from that year? Do you you know what was, I guess, what's most sought after?
Was
1986, the only sought after card is the traded set in there, which is the Barry Bonds rookie card.
Yeah.
Oh, Barry
Bonds.
That's
like the biggest card in the whole 1986 series. The regular set, not really much in there.
And the traded cards are not in the regular set, Al?
No, they're not. They came out at the end of the season.
Okay. All right. Well, still, it's nice to. That's a nice collection. Although, Al, wasn't that the last year that we saw like a Tom Seaver card? Would the last year for a player be worth something as well?
Yes, there was a Tom Seaver card. He played with, I believe, he was on the Red Sox that year, which was really weird.
Yep. But I mean,
it was really weird to see.
When you have a Hall of Fame player, obviously you think. Thanks for the call, Thomas. We appreciate it. When you have a Hall of Fame player,
you
think often about the rookie cards, obviously. But what about that last card, the last Ted Williams card, or the last Yogi Berra card, or Duke Snyder, or somebody like that?
Yogi Berra card is interesting. How he became the manager, and he was just a phenomenal person.
No, but I mean,
great player.
In general, though, the last year a player plays, or Seaver was done after 86, right? There may have been an 87 card. I don't know. But would that last year be worth any more than the previous few in his career?
I really don't think so. The first year, second year is the most desirable cards.
Yeah.
You know, rookie year is the highly desirable. Then second season. And then from then on, you know, it's a regular superstar card.
Right. Okay, let's go to Steve and Barry. Steve, you're on.
Hi, how are you? Thank you very much for this program. I have two questions.
Okay.
One is I have Zorro cards for, I think, 1958, series 1 through 80 in order. I have two sets of them, A and B. I have about 1,200 baseball cards, but the ones that I put in a frame in my den has 1958 Stan Musial, Ted Williams, Mickey Mantle, and guys like Vinegar Ben Mizell, one of the great nicknames for anybody who ever played baseball, I think. Vinegar Ben Mizell, Jimmy Pearsall, Connie Mack, Curt Flood, who was a revolutionary change maker in baseball, and Frank Robinson, who got the MVP in both leagues. So, They're pretty cool things. I had them since I was a kid. I'm 72 years old, and my wife says, get rid of them before I get rid of you.
I don't know. What do you think, Al?
I think it's got a nice collection of vintage cards. I mean, the Zorro cards are neat. That was a big Disney TV show back in the day. But with the Stan Musial, Ted Williams, those are really nice cards. What year are they from, 1958, too? Or?
Yes. Yes, those are the 58 All-Star Game cards, I believe.
Yeah, the All-Star cards with the stars in the background.
That's correct.
Yeah, those are nice, desirable cards.
Okay, good.
I believe the Mantle is the most valuable one.
Do you have the Mantle, Steve?
Yeah. I do indeed. I'm looking at it. I put them on my phone for the in anticipation of this call. You know, I have a really nice Al Kaline who used to sign his autographs, A-L, K, and drew a line. So for Kaline.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he played a long time. So that is a really cool collection there. How much is the Mantle All-Star worth, Al?
It's $400, the Mantle All-Star.
Ooh. Well, you better talk to your wife, Steve. I don't know. I think you better hold on to those.
Yeah, that's one of the most valuable. That's the most valuable card in the whole All-Star set, I believe.
I may be taking a ride to Schenectady to see you guys one of these days.
All right, Steve. Hey, thanks a lot.
I think, yeah, in nice shape, they go for good money.
All right, well, thank you.
I'm sorry. It's a triple print card. No, it's a $200 card.
It's a $200
I got the wrong year mixed up. All sorry, right. $200.
Well, hopefully Steve is still listening, although he's got the whole set, so that's pretty cool. All right, very quickly,
Cool.
Al, how do people find Al's House of Cards on the internet?
They could just find me at Al's House of Sports Cards on Facebook.
All right. Hey, man, thanks a lot for being here. Hey, Bill, once again, how do we find Electric City Comics?
We are on Facebook, Electric City Comics, and also we have a website, electriccitycomics.com, but generally it's easiest to get a hold of us via Facebook.
You guys were great. Thank you so much for being here, both of you.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right, see you guys. Support comes from Vision XL Eye Care, Lake Katrine, Exams, Eye Care, Dry Eye Therapy, and now new American-made frames where eyewear is an art. VisionXLEyeCare.com. At Merritt Bookstore, Millbrook, open for customers with contactless selection and pickup available. Inventory ranges from summer reading bundles, social justice books, and pool toys. More at MerrittBooks.com. At Mother Earth Storehouse, open 7 days, working to help keep our communities safe and supplied with EDC goods and services, serving the Hudson Valley with organic and all-natural food since 1978. MotherEarthStorehouse.com. Well, that's that for today. Thanks to Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards and Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics for being here. Thank you for great calls and great emails. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Jordan Yuxall took the calls. Our producer's Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, join us at 2 p.m. for the Science Forum. Right now, stand by for 51%.